We just sang that this evening in the second paragraph, the second line, which says, "So light and life and love comes forth from Christ living in us." And that's the theme of Colossians. That's what the 4 to 5 verses we looked at last week. That's what God is calling us to do through this prayer which the Apostle Paul offered. He's calling us higher and deeper into the knowledge of his will. Shall we turn to Colossians chapter 9, verse 10 to 14? Today we'll be closing this whole prayer which the Apostle Paul had prayed for the Colossians, and see practical applications of how God desires that we continue to grow in him. We did go through verse 9 last week. We looked at the first and the second part. Let's go through verse 9 again, though, just to maintain continuity. Verse 9 says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God." Verse 11, "Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us to the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." We can look at, we saw in verse 9 that Paul says that, we saw what Paul was praying for. He was praying that the Colossians would be filled with the knowledge of his will. And we saw what that will truly meant. The will means Christ. The knowledge of his will means that we should come to know Christ more and more through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. So we see that Paul's praying that the Colossians walk in wisdom. And what does that mean? Walking in wisdom means applying every single thing which we took, the knowledge of the will of God, and we start applying that to our lives. And the knowledge of, and the wisdom and walking in wisdom really means that we revere God, that we honor God in everything we do. We guard our thoughts, and in every aspect of our lives, we seek God's wisdom. And how do we get it? James chapter 1 verse 5 clearly says that. James chapter 1 verse 5 shows us that if we do not have wisdom, do not conform to the, James chapter 1 verse 5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." All we have to do is ask God, because we know our state. We know our human strength. We know that we have nothing without God, and we do need wisdom. We do need God's wisdom and understanding, and we see that all we have to do, and that's the first part which Paul is saying. Paul is saying that he is asking God. He's not saying we have to go and do something on our own. All we have to do is ask God, who gives generously to all of us. And we know that what happens if we do not heed God's wisdom. We see that in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 9. We see that when David sinned, the prophet Nathan came to him, and the one word he used there, he's the prophet Nathan says, gives the whole example of the man who took the other person's sheep. And we see when David was livid, he heard the story and he was livid. He said that that man should be punished. But then Nathan tells David, "You are that person." But he uses a word here. He says, "Why do you despise God's commandment? Why do you despise God's wisdom?" We see that Anytime we do something against God's will, anytime we sin intentionally, what we are doing is we are really despising God's wisdom. Through that, we are despising God Himself. We know the price Christ had to pay to give us this beautiful life in Him, where we can come freely and boldly to Him and ask Him for wisdom. Because James chapter 1 verse 5, in the first part of the first verse, it shows who James is talking to. He's saying, dear brothers and sisters. He's not talking to the world. He's talking to us, to the believers. And Paul's doing the same thing. The word, as I mentioned last week, the word you he's using here is not a single person you. He's saying collectively to the church. So all of us together, let us come before the Lord and ask Him for wisdom and understanding. And we see what happens after that. So what? So in verse 10, it says that so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord. Living a life worthy of the Lord and to please Him in every way. There are a few examples, and we'll probably not go through each and every verse, but there are 7 or 8 points which I kind of noted, that which shows us how what happens and how do we live a life worthy of Christ's calling. Because the song we just sang, Christ liveth in me, it's not I who is doing something. It's Christ who lives in me, who controls everything we do. And we heard about that last week too. Can we truly say that we surrender all? What does it truly mean when it says we surrender everything to God? When we do surrender to the Lord and submit to His will, we see that in Colossians there are a few verses that shows us evidence of what happens when we start living a life worthy of the Lord. In Ephesians chapter 4 verse 1, it shows us how we live a life worthy of the Lord by living in purity and holiness. It involves us turning from our sin and our iniquity and our impurity and being and living a life with integrity and obedience to God's commandments. In the same book, in Colossians chapter 3 verse 12 to 17, it shows us how we can live a life worthy of the Lord by living with a Christ-like character. That's Colossians chapter 3 verse 12 to 17. We'll not go through it, but I would highly encourage each and every one of us to go back and read through it and look at how Paul's advising the Colossians to put on virtues like compassion, kindness, humility, patience, and the love which we have for one another, which reflects Christ. Colossians chapter 3 verse 15 through 17 shows Paul's talking about being thankful and being content, having a spirit of gratitude for everything, and being content in our circumstances. There are times that I think it's probably just me, but the older I get, the more I am not content in everything I have. But Paul's telling us to live a life worthy of the Lord, being thankful and content. It's not optional. When we have Christ living in us, these are not things which we can pick and choose what we want to do and what we are comfortable with. It's Christ living in me, not partially, fully. Christ gave every single drop of His blood for us. He gave all. And therefore, He expects us to submit completely, to surrender and submit to His will completely. Colossians chapter 4 verse 5 shows the fourth point of how Paul is talking to the Colossians about conducting themselves with prudence, walking with wisdom. The testimony we have in this day and age, as we are at work, as we conduct ourselves anywhere, people are looking at us. We're not walking around always reciting scriptures, but the world looks at us because they clearly see something's different. Christ has saved this person. It's clear that, you know, something different is living in this person. That's the way we ought to conduct ourselves. And Colossians chapter 4 verse 5 also says that we need to make the most of our opportunities to share the gospel. Colossians chapter 4 verse 2 shows us how we can persevere in prayer. And Philippians chapter 1 verse 27 to 30 shows us that having a mindset of self-sacrifice and being willing to endure hardship for the gospel. And all of these together are things which we ought to do and ought to walk towards to live a life worthy of the Lord. And we see the second part of that where Paul's saying to live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. But he also says, what does that look like in the second part of that verse, which says, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. Have we ever prayed this prayer, saying, God, how can I please you? How can I live a life where there is some fruit? Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 4 to 5, and we'll go through that in a bit. But it talks about denying ourselves, it truly means in the New Testament, what it means is picking up the cross and following Christ. Shall we take a look at that verse, Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 4 to 5. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." Sorry. "Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." These commandments, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4, 5, and 6, it says in verse 6, "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts." And he talks about impressing them on your children, talking to them when you sit at home, when you get up, when you lie down. And Paul says something similar. You know, we ought to live out that thing which was mentioned in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 5, which is basically loving Christ above ourselves, picking up our cross and sacrificing for the gospel. Because we see that, how do we please God fully? Fully pleasing God. It's because we can't really please God fully and please the world. We have to pick. There's no in between. Throughout the scripture, the gospel, and even in the Old Testament, it's very clear. God is very clear that he does not want people to worship him partially. He wants our full submission. One of the greatest compliments which we can ever get is that this person truly loved the Lord, truly submitted to God's will and fully pleased him. We see Enoch walked with God. What did that really mean? Did he physically walk with God every day? That's something which we do today. We are walking with Christ. But do we live a life worthy of the Lord, where every action which we do, everything which we say, everything which we do, does that fully please God? Because we see God doesn't show favoritism. There's no partiality with God. God expects us to fully submit to his word. And we see how the effect of that. It says in the second part of this word, which is bearing fruit. It uses a word here in verse 10, which is bearing fruit. It's not producing fruit, because we do not produce fruit. God produces fruit in us, and we bear that fruit. If we are truly part of Christ, if Christ truly lives in us, we naturally bear fruit. If a tree is living, and the tree is, you know, a tree which is supposed to produce fruit, which we are, God has called each and every one of us to produce fruit. The tree naturally produces fruit. There's no tree which is supposed to produce fruit but doesn't produce fruit, but because in that case that tree is dead. Because there are people, and sometimes I ask this question to myself. It is one thing, like on a tree there might be fruits which are, you know, not ripe yet. It's not fully ready, but there are fruits. You know, that's a sign of whether somebody is truly in the Lord, if Christ truly lives in them. That as Dr. Mitha shared last week, it doesn't truly mean just everybody has to come on stage and just preach. There are fruits of the Spirit. There are fruits which we have. Everybody has some gift which God has given us, and we truly need to use that for God's glory. God entrusts us with more things to do for Him, more responsibilities, but we have to use the gifts He has given us first and use it fully. And as we are short on time, let's quickly go through the second part of this. And it says, growing in the knowledge of God. The more we bear fruit, the more we use our fruits for God's glory, the more we grow in the knowledge of God. Again, there's no or being used anywhere here. There's no option of us just sitting and going through the scripture, trying to memorize scriptures and trying to figure, okay, now I get it. This is what life in Christ truly means. No. If that truly happens, if that is truly part of our lives and it is instilled in our hearts, we will naturally produce fruit. And we see verse 11, Paul saying, all of this, bearing every fruit, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened in all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. So the Greek word being used here for strengthened is the same Greek word which we use to get this English word dynamo, which converts mechanical energy into electrical energy. What is that? It's a generator, right? So God is strengthening us. What God is really doing is charging us with all power. The way we walk, the way we talk, everything which we do is being strengthened with all power. Can you imagine? It doesn't say some power, it says all power. Can you imagine all the power and might of the Lord, who the God who created this whole universe, is we are being strengthened with? People who were once sinners, and now because of Christ's wonderful sacrifice, we are being charged by all of that power. All of that power. What a blessed people we are. And it says that as we abound in Christ, that we are being strengthened for what? For all patience and endurance. What is this power for? It is for all patience and endurance. We see many scriptures where it says about being persevering. In Romans chapter 5, verse 3 and 4, it says, and I'll read that portion, it says, not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Character produces hope. It's everything which is mentioned in these scriptures, it's all for each other. It's all complementing the passage before that. It says that so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father. We worship God every time we come to His presence. Do we give thanks to the Father with joy? Do we conduct our lives with joy? Do we go through all our trials and temptations with perseverance and endurance, but does that come with joy? Because if it doesn't, like two people can be married to each other for a long time, but if they are not joyful, they're just tolerating each other at that point. God is calling us to submit to His will, to grow in all patience and endurance with joy. And the last part of this, it tells us, it gives us the foundation for all of this. Giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us, in verse 13, from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son, whom he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Here we see the second part about we are giving thanks to the Father, but Paul is reminding us of what the Father has done for us. It says the Father has, he uses the word qualified. In verse 13, he says he has rescued us. We who were previously unqualified, God rescued us and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. It shows that all these three words, being qualified, being rescued, and the fact that God has brought us into the kingdom of Son, it's all used in past tense, but we see verse 14 is present tense. In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Throughout verse 9 through 14, it shows Paul uses a few words. It says that we have not stopped praying for you. He says that we need to ask God that we may do what? That we may be bearing fruit. So he uses all these ing words. He's talking about praying. He's talking about bearing. He's talking about, in verse 10, growing in the knowledge of God. He's talking about being strengthened with all power. And then lastly, he says, giving thanks to the Father. Sometimes I just marvel at how complete. You can pick few verses from the Bible and I marvel at how complete it is. It tells us everything we need to know. And this connects to what we saw last Sunday, where we heard from our brother that Romans chapter 12 verse 1, being a living sacrifice to the Lord. And how do we do that? How do we find our way in God's perfect will? Our brother shared like two things, consecration and transformation. We consecrate our lives to the Lord and we are being transformed every single day, being renewed. It's not saying you were renewed, it's saying being renewed. What a wonderful few verses. I know we had to rush today, but any chance we get, I would highly encourage all of us together to pray this prayer. To pray this prayer that what Paul prayed for the Colossians. Maybe pray this for us, for ourselves. Maybe pray this prayer for all our fellow believers. Because Paul was very encouraged with their faith. We saw that in the first part of this chapter, verse 5, 6, 7. But just having faith and having knowledge is not enough. With that comes things which we ought to do for the Lord. And all we have to do is ask. That's all we have to do. But that's sometimes hard because we want to take control of our lives and do everything ourselves. Maybe continue to ask God to help us bear fruit, to help us give thanks to Him. And maybe continue to be people who show the light to this whole world. And may the world recognize that Christ truly lives in us. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this wonderful opportunity for us to come together and study your word. We thank you for the Apostle Paul and all the words he shared through this prayer. Lord, similarly, we pray that you may help us ask you for the knowledge of your will. We pray that you may help us bear fruits and that show that Christ truly lives in us. The fact that we have the Spirit of the Lord in us. May we continue to give thanks for everything you do in our lives and everything you're going to do in our lives, Lord. Help us to be useful vessels for you. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.